This episode of Frank and Open Discussion is brought to you by the letter F. Why stop at just one? About re-releases of music from the Beatles and the Floyd, the decline of high-fidelity music, the benefits of streaming, Netflix versus Spotify versus Bandcamp, 80s music, and our very special guest celebrity, not Liam Hemsworth.
So we had a list.
Someone
of
have an idea.
Well, no, we had a list of topics.
Well, who are we first?
Well, everyone knows. Everyone saw the pilot, Frank and Open Discussion, right?
As all the kids were talking about at school the next day.
I'm not familiar with it.
I'm not familiar with his work.
Yeah, you were heavily sedated at the time.
And so how was that first podcast?
The first podcast, was amazing.
It was a roaring success.
It was. I remember there was a fair bit on the cutting room floor. I said some witticisms that Ben decided weren't fit for publication. I was very disappointed.
I think that could be the title of our first
how
album.
How do you
cutting
define
room fit floor. For publication?
How do you define witticism?
A schism that's witty.
I see. Let's talk about old music. Let's get straight into it, yes.
So Abbey Road box set.
Let's appeal to the youth demographic by talking about the 50-year anniversary of the Beatles.
Well, that's actually, like, my point. Like, surely everything that could be said about the Beatles has been said, so what is the point of releasing that, except as a cynical exercise in extending their copyright for releasing a new recording?
Not accustomed to the news, earlier this week it was announced that the 50th anniversary of Abbey Road is being released. It's been remixed by Giles Martin. It's in surround as well, and there's probably all kinds of stuff.
Has that got Here Comes the Sun on it?
Yeah, it's
yes,
great.
Yes, it does. Yes.
I read somewhere that Here Comes the Sun is like the Beatles song that's most popular, that resonates most with the youth of today. And I assume that's because it appears on Spotify playlists, as in, you know, oh, here's a song for summer, Here Comes the Sun. So any song with sun in the title, everyone goes, oh, yeah, love it, play it.
Who's seen the Yesterday movie?
Yeah, I have.
That not me.
Fantastic movie.
Not me.
Was it in that? I can't remember. Here Comes the Sun?
I'm sure it was.
Sure it was. I think Abbey Road is a great album, but I don't particularly, I'm not interested in reissues of that thing. I'd rather listen to new music.
But look, remember...
Everything builds off the Beatles from 50 years ago. It's like coming to a food discussion group and someone says, hey, how about scrambled eggs? They were big 50 years ago, but we've moved on to hollandaise sauce and everything else now. Why are we still talking scrambled eggs?
Because that was the original title of Yesterday.
Scrambled eggs?
The song, yeah.
How about the fact that they've got technology that was 50-year-old recording technology, and maybe now, 50 years later, they can actually sort of resurrect something new and exciting.
Hasn't everyone
what
complained about
wrong?
That? Don't everyone, like, isn't the mono mixes of all the Beatles stuff considered the much better than the stereo versions?
So remember when they did the stereo at the time, they'd hard pan things left and right. You'd get the vocals on one speaker and you'd get the instrumentals on the back, and that's really impossible to listen to in headphones. Mm-hmm. So Giles takes the mono mix as verbatim, as what?
Canon.
And then he works with that and makes stereo mix from the original mono mix.
Is he the son of George Martin?
He is.
That right?
Or George
Did
Michael.
I read that?
And so he was in the studio when it was being recorded.
Here Comes the Sun was about Giles.
Oh, you're shitting me now.
where's the fart noise sound effect?
we'll add them in later.
Maybe there's some interesting other material in the box set that's worth listening to. Like, there was a version of Come Together where John Lennon was obviously clearly incredibly high. And I believe that Ringo made a mistake when he drummed in that version.
Mm. I've never heard Ringo play loose.
He played some weird rhythm in that part. Maybe tried playing right-handed for a change.
So, Ringo, is he overrated? He invented it.
Overrated?
Well, he was the first to be overrated.
It doesn't mean he's not overrated.
Well, he was...
But was he the right drummer?
He was the best drummer for the Beatles, as you say, apart from Macca.
Didn't we talk about this last week?
But the drummer from the Rolling Stones, who's that guy?
Charlie Watts.
He's a fantastic drummer.
He's okay as well.
Who's that guy? Slap him in the back of the head.
He's great. Fantastic drummer.
If you're looking at all of the drummers through time, yes, they were both important, and they're both products of their time. Like, Ringo was very important for example, for
rescue. Yeah, I will be your knight in shining armor, riding across the desert on a fine Adam charger.
Ringo is left-handed.
You will yes. be mine.
And he plays his kit in a right-handed mine. Configuration.
Right.
You will be mine, you
which
will
gives
be
him
mine,
his own style, his own sound.
Yeah, in fact, he's fond of saying, oh, people thought I was a genius, but actually I was just playing left-handed, right-handed, and then nobody else could do that, you know. Like, so, you know, he goes around the kit that way, right to left.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the Beatles went and found the best drummer that they knew in Liverpool.
But
know?
He's probably the best Thomas the Tank Engine voice.
Well,
for the kids out there, that's where you remember Ringo from.
Yeah, right.
Thomas was very depressed.
He caused confusion and delay in the Beatles. So that we're talking about this guy who, before he was Thomas the Tank Engine, was in a band. You know, Paul McCartney was in a band before Wings too. Let's fast forward 50 years.
Do we have to?
And now it's time for new
oldies. New tool coming out soon.
Yeah, I'm excited by that.
I'm way past excited. I can't wait for this album.
We could talk about another thing too.
2 weeks.
Apropos Tool. Tool just released all of their stuff on streaming services after years of saying, well, we're not going to do streaming services. It's all like stealing from musicians.
They're already rich.
Yeah, so
they?
Now they're releasing everything.
Sure,
I haven't released an album in 30
years. Which is great because I got to income? Listen to it again.
Well, they don't need to because they're already rich.
Although I did see them tour a couple of years ago, so I guess that's where the money is in touring. Well, Frankenfoundation tour.
It's amazing.
Is that how they got rich from selling you a ticket on tour, Jeff?
Yeah, it was like 130 or 150 bucks, I think. It was pretty expensive, but it was worth it, though. Oh, man.
It's like Radiohead releasing an album for free on the internets and saying, you know, pay what you want. It's fine to do that if you're already stinking rich.
Yeah, and I'm approaching it more as a consumer. It's good to be able to... Like, I didn't listen to Tool for ages because I had no platform in which to listen to them to. I probably got a CD.
You didn't have a CD player?
You couldn't.
I don't have a CD player.
I have no CD player.
No, I have no way of listening to them apart from ripping a CD.
When the albums were released, you had a CD player.
When the albums were released, I have a CD player, and I have a Tool CD somewhere. I'm not quite sure where. And I wouldn't know how to play it. Now I can listen to
them. I have a box of CDs I can't play.
Yeah, I have a box too.
Have you got a Blu-ray player or a DVD player?
I do, but like...
Well, there you go.
It's plugged into my TV. When am I going to listen to music on my TV?
You're
I listen
me
to music on my phone constantly all
are you
day.
Watching, are you watching TV through TV speakers?
Yes.
You haven't got like a hi-fi connected or anything like
I'm
that?
No, I'm too cheap for that stuff.
So you're watching movies and television through shitty TV speakers?
Well, they're TV speakers. I wouldn't say they were shitty, but they're...
Well, they're relatively shitty.
They're relatively. Compared to a hi-fi system, yes.
A good set of speakers.
So I'm in the minority, it would appear, of wanting to have a good hi-fi setup to watch movies, to watch television.
Well, I don't know. Jeff has a setup, don't you, Jeff?
Yeah, but it's not connected to my TV at all.
Oh, okay.
It's off in a corner. It's these beautiful active speakers with turntable and CD attached, and that's about it. Nothing else.
It's not very... It's not really...
TV just goes through a little soundbar thing.
Okay, so you missed Tool in their heyday.
I didn't see them live.
They are now streaming... You can listen to them. Are you going to go to their shows?
I might. I certainly would consider it if they're coming out. Are they coming out?
I'd definitely go see those guys.
I think when you saw them, Jeff, you said that you maybe got permanent hearing damage, right? Was that?
I think that might have been some hyperbole. It was pretty loud.
They were very loud.
But I've heard louder. The Cult back in 86 at East League Club, that was the loudest I've ever heard a band. I had ear ringing for about a week afterwards.
So when I saw Soundgarden, I just had earplugs in.
Well, my loudest show was Santana a few years ago at the Entertainment Centre. It was just horribly loud, horribly piercing.
Horribly played.
Well, he did his thing.
So the Brisbane Entertainment Centre is renowned for being a terrible music venue because it's a square concrete box that you apparently can't get a decent sound out of.
I don't agree with that.
Well, we saw Roger Waters there. That was pretty good.
That's what
I
was going to say. Unless you've got the genius of whoever the audio engineers who did Roger Waters, because sound was amazing. But in general, the sound there sucks, I think.
What, you'd rather hear them at Suncorp Stadium or something?
Well, I don't know about that, but I certainly...
Or QE2, whatever it's called now.
I'd rather hear them at Festival Hall.
You could have done that 20 years ago when that was still a venue.
That wasn't around at the time.
I did see Radiohead at Festival Hall.
But the
Better than that one.
The junk bar is a lot of fun. The one thing they should improve the junk bar is the air conditioning.
Yeah, I lasted 1 minute into your set and then I left. I don't know if I told you that yet.
Well, no, we noticed you were gone and we assumed
I couldn't handle it anymore. I was like, oh, I've got to get out of here.
Well, I assume the music was so mind-blowing that you said, well, there's nothing that can top this now. And I'll just
my life is done.
Yeah. I stayed for the whole lot.
It's like Bruford leaving after Close to the Edge. So it was the heat.
My heart was doing crazy things. I thought, yeah, I'm out of here. It's too crowded, too small, too hot.
So the venue over in West End used to be the Pavilion?
Hi-Fi Bar, yeah.
Hi-Fi Bar, that's a great venue.
We
saw that King Crimson band there, didn't we? Project.
Yeah. Saw the brand new heavies there.
Crimson Project, that was the my show of the year that year.
The Whitlams there.
The Whitlams.
I saw Mark Kozelek there too.
Mark Kozelek, as in the guy who did all the covers of the AC/DC songs.
Did Rolf Harris ever cover AC/DC?
He covered them or something, probably.
Is it still okay to talk about Rolf Harris, given
it was going to be Rolf or Bill Cosby.
Better
Rolf, I think.
I think it's better if they're dead because then the lawyers can't sue us.
Well, the families can.
They can't defame the dead.
No, well, families...
Ken, you're our legal counsel. Can you defame the dead?
I don't know. I don't know anymore.
Can you bring your law books next time?
I will.
You're the law talking guy.
All right, so look, here's one I wanted to bring up.
Is it relevant to the youth of today?
I think so.
Okay.
It's the kids who are wrong.
It's the children who are wrong.
It's the children who are wrong. So, impending announcement of a Pink Floyd Later Years box set, i.e. from the 80s and beyond, after Roger had left.
Is that like when they're all in their wheelchairs and got blankets over their legs? Pink Floyd, the autumn years.
So anyway, there's going to be a remix of the Momentary Lapse of Reason album.
Oh, they're going to make it better?
Well, they're going
to... Get rid of the 80s gated drums.
That's exactly what the idea is, to mix the 80s out of it. That was the actual quote. this is a hip. The 80s are hip.
Now we're only 30 years out.
The 80s are surprisingly hip. Unfortunately, the 80s at hip is not necessarily the good 80s. I think it's the kind of cheese is what is appreciated by the youth of today.
What sort of cheese are you speaking of?
Like your Spandau Ballet or your Culture Club or that sort of...
All right, so Culture Club's cheese, but Spandau Ballet is quite accomplished.
Oh, okay. But that's true.
The song Culture Gold.
What album is this? Colour by Numbers, one of Karma Chameleon. Oh, yes. That's a great album.
It is.
I've got it on LP.
That's
sounds
good.
Fantastic.
All right, so we have an argument that Culture Club is great. I will argue that Spandau Ballet is, again, quite accomplished.
Okay. Well,
so none of this is cheese.
I suppose, okay, let's say not cheese, but the poppier elements.
You know, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Much is true.
Careful. We don't want lawyers involved.
That's fair use.
That's fair use.
All right, fair use.
Yeah, because it's satire. Clearly he was satiring someone who could
see. Well, I'm going to...
Speaking of that, isn't Rick Astley doing a show? So there's some amazing show that has Rick Astley and a bunch of other...
Didn't they just play at Eatonsville the other week?
Maybe that's Pseudo
Echo.
Pseudo Echo, yes.
Aha.
Everyone plays at
Eatonsville. I'd love to see I'd see a Nick Kershaw.
Nick Kershaw's awesome.
I like Nick Kershaw.
I don't think he's been
fantastic.
I think Nick Kershaw, was underrated.
I want to see a whole gig of Nick Kershaw.
Yeah, I think he's got...
The Riddle and... Whatever else he did. Wouldn't it be nice?
Wide Boy?
Wouldn't it be good?
Wide Boy was out. There's many of The Riddle.
Yeah, The Riddle.
I think we've done The Riddle.
So many great songs.
That's a great album. I still listen to them.
So what do we think of the theory that 80s production was based on the fact that record executives took a lot of cocaine and it kind of... only allows them to hear certain frequencies well, high ones.
Or it enhanced their appreciation of the high frequencies.
Does it explain the drum sound?
I think that's the idea is it explains the very sort of top-end nature of the 80s.
So we've got...
mixing
process.
I think you're reaching.
You've got the... No, well, I'm happy, to go with that because... But you've got the gated gun sound... gated drum sound, right?
Yeah.
That helped define the 80s.
Was that Phil Collins contribution?
It started with Phil playing on a Peter Gabriel solo
Intruder.
And then Phil, of course, then used it on his own stuff.
I think Hugh Padgham was involved as well.
Oh, yes, Hugh.
Phil is still the greatest drummer ever.
Except for Ringo.
No, don't knock Phil. He was good. He was definitely
accomplished in the day.
Like the worst thing that Peter Gabriel ever did was leave Genesis, because then Phil Collins started to sing.
Oh, yeah. Hang on. Phil did a good job. In fact, the best thing that happened to Genesis was Peter Gabriel leaving. Oh. And then they got successful and made money.
There's a lesson in that. The lead singer should go. The lead singer should bugger off.
If you want to sell out, Ken, sell out early.
Well, you can't
talk
about
the... we're now talking about Genesis in the 70s, if you're wondering how far back in time we've gone.
I don't think... Let's
from the 60s to the 80s to the 70s.
I don't think the kids are our audience.
Let's stick to the 80s for a thing. You can't talk about the 80s without talking about 80s hair bands.
Oh, yes, you can. 2 weeks ago, I went online and bought 2 Frankie Goes to Hollywood tracks.
Oh, right. What, both of them? Like, both Relax and Two Tribes?
The 16-minute remix of Relax. That, I haven't got it.
Wow. Trevor Horn.
That's Trevor Horn. And the Two Tribes remix. Mix, which is definitely Trevor Horn. Oh, also on SoundCloud, there's this 40-minute mix of Welcome to the Pleasure Dome, and it's fantastic. You should listen to it. Frankie Goes, they're great big bass songs all the way through.
I thought Relax was pretty incredible.
In fact, I saw a YouTube video.
It was
video.
Very unique for its time.
Well, the film clip is quite horrible, really.
So the Tears for Fears. That's a fantastic sound.
Tears for Fears is awesome.
If they got rid of the gated drums.
Tears for Fears. That Sowing the Seeds song threw me.
Them being the Beatles to bring it around full circle.
Sowing the Seeds is awesome. It's a great song.
Head Over Heels, great song.
Great song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Yeah, great song.
Yeah, fantastic song.
There's so many.
Broken. Mother's Milk, I think it's called.
That other song
from the Big Chair. Songs from the Big Chair is a great song.
You wouldn't consider them new wave, would you? What would you call
funky white boy pop? I don't know. Well, speaking of 80s, so Pet Shop Boys. Everybody should have a copy of Introspective. That's like the best 80s album ever.
I don't.
Well, you are missing out.
I don't have a CD player.
It was one of the very first CDs I got.
I have a copy of literally everything.
I have a copy of it.
Do you really? What happens when the right holders pull those rights and you don't get to listen to it anymore?
You listen to something else.
Well, exactly.
I go to Tidal.
First approximation, there is all of music on Spotify, so I just listen to something else. I didn't listen to Tool for all those years. Does that mean I was like, I didn't listen to other music? No. But then now I can listen to Tool. But I listen to it once, and then I listen to a billion other things, because that's how much music I listen to.
All right, so what you're talking about is a model where the musicians aren't paid.
So that was always the model, though.
No, it's not.
So it was always the model that record producers ripped off musicians. That's been the model throughout time. It just so happened that back in the day there were fewer recording artists because it was much harder and more expensive to make a record. In general...
Yeah, but they made money. The top artists made money.
Yeah, they made some money, but...
Bandcamp, that's what everyone should be going to. See all my collection?
But in general...
I own all these. Go to Bandcamp.
Record companies made shit tons of money while artists didn't make all of that much.
But there was a thing called an advance. An artist got an advance from the record company and they probably never had a chance to earn that back.
Oh, you almost rhymed. You did rhyme for a bit there. Artists got an advance, they never had a chance to earn it back. Hey.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Like,
we could turn that into a song.
What do you expect to happen from
here? The Ballad of Spotify.
I expect the quality of music to get worse and worse and shittier.
Well, it will if all we can do is just keep re-releasing the Beatles. We'll never have new music, right? Like, my son is in a band. They can, go and sit in their bedroom and record something and get it out to everyone. All of their mates can listen to it and it can find an audience. Very, very easily. Like, it's impossible to do that in physical media easily.
What do you do once you find that audience?
What does it matter?
Nothing else matters. Which leads you to an expert. I was listening to Metallica on the way here in the car, Death Magnetic. What a great album that is.
Which version were you listening
to? I was listening to the Guitar Hero version. The one that wasn't compressed to buggery. And man, that's a great album. I never really listened to that one before. I tried listening to the CD and it was just compressed. It was just an earache all the way through. But that one, I was turning it up. So what a great record.
So you've hit on an interesting topic.
How did you obtain this version, Jeff?
I found it.
But you've hit on an interesting topic, which is the loudness wars, which effectively been defeated by streaming. Do you know this? Because streaming companies, they normalize everything to 14 LFS or whatever it is.
What's an LFS? Is that like RMS?
It's like sound for something. It's 10, like a loudness measure.
Is that like 10 IDGAFs?
So essentially what they do is they go through the library and they make everything that's the maximum. So everything has a maximum loudness. There's actually no point to compressing everything to crap anymore.
Yeah,
and it's actually meant that dynamics has crept back into music.
But not on Spotify, because they normalise everything.
What, they just cut it off?
I don't know how I don't know if they just limit. Well, yeah, they probably just. I don't know how they actually do that in practice.
Right.
But all of the streaming.
So you don't know what you're talking about.
All of the streaming. I know that they do it. I don't know how they do it in practice. Is a different thing. For example,
it's like sex.
I know that.
Like satisfying a woman. You know it's there. But yeah. Okay. Go on. No, please continue.
I think it's time for to mention one of our sponsors, Frank and Cola. If you've got a thirst that just won't go away, or if you've got a sink that just won't get unblocked, then grab a can of Franken Cola, and it will leave you clean and refreshed, and leave your sink clean and refreshed. So that's Franken Cola, people.
Is this like a metaphor for our music?
No. That's the one.
It will leave your system clean. It will clean out your system and purge any of the impurities.
Well, yes, it will.
After one dose of Frankenfighter, you will want to get rid of everything in your body.
So that's Franken Cola, and available at a store near you.
Yeah, so what about competing streaming music platforms that offer better money for musicians? I mean, what's stopping those artists from going to those?
Which streaming platforms are offering better deals for musicians?
Tidal, I heard, was offering better.
Is it a higher payment
rate?
That's
for the top tier, though, right?
So in general, the problem with streaming is, like, there's actually quite a lot of money made in streaming only by 4 or 5 record companies. So 70% of the revenues go to all of these, like, just... like limited record companies, and the rest is left over for independent musicians.
Let's remember that Spotify is losing money. It's making a horrendous loss.
Yeah, but they don't care.
No, they don't care. So it's not an economical model to start with.
It's not being profitable.
But,
that's
but
a long game.
They're not selling it off and selling your shares.
They're
not the only. There are plenty of the others are. So both Google and Apple are quite profitable.
Google Music really? Is finished.
Yeah, Google shuts down everything. Don't trust anything by Google.
Google Play Music. Shutting down.
No, he's got...
Google Play Artist Hub, yeah.
Anyway, no...
They can't have Google Music and YouTube.
So, look, the major share owners of Spotify are the major record companies.
Yeah, exactly.
Obviously, because they've got the clout and they've got the catalogues.
And the cattle dogs.
And they get the majority of the money, and you can be very, very sure they're not passing any of that money on to their artists.
Well, here's an interesting comparison. Do you think that streaming is bad for video, TV shows?
Spotify killed the radio.
Do you, for example, watch Netflix or any of those things? Like, I actually don't watch any real TV anymore.
That's a different model.
What? No, it's exactly
It's a
the
different
same
kind
model.
Of streaming altogether. It's a different kind of streaming. Yeah.
Thank you.
So what's your Netflix fee?
I pay about twice as much for Netflix as I do for Spotify.
All right. People still get paid for Netflix, right? The actors get paid, the producers and so on get paid.
They generally get paid up front, though, not on a per-stream basis. So even if it is a per-stream, it's very small. But they still get paid up front.
They develop their own content.
That's right. That's what they're moving towards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you think such a thing might not be possible? Like, say, you take the long view. Do you think such a thing might not be possible with Spotify, for example, does produce their own content? They pay a bunch of artists to record specifically stuff for Spotify.
Yeah, Spotify sessions.
Spotify has no reason to create new music.
But that same argument would say Netflix had no reason to create content because they could just play like any old movie and people would listen to it.
No, because they realised that all the people producing the content were going to move to their own streaming platform, so they had to produce their own content to compete because they're losing all the third-party content. That's not happening with Spotify. You don't see Tool or Taylor Swift moving to some other...
What, to Sony?
Tidal or whatever, or some Sony-branded music streaming platform.
Tay-Tay, when she releases an album, she, like, sells it in Target or Kmart on CD for, like, the first 3 weeks to get maximum amount of cash, and then she goes and sells it on the streaming platform.
Yeah, but she was already big before streaming. She was a huge success before streaming.
Well, yeah, how long has streaming been around?
So who's big... In the streaming age, who's become big because of streaming?
Bon Iver.
Nah.
You mean Bon Iver?
Oh, Bon Iver.
Bon Iver, I believe it's pronounced Bon Iver.
On Spotify.
People only listen to music on streaming and a little bit on radio these days. So every artist in the last 5 years has become big on streaming.
Rebecca Black.
So
the girl who sang Friday, was that her?
Friday. She was on YouTube.
Streaming.
Justin Bieber became big because of the YouTube.
He's an excellent drummer. We need to get some stats together and figure out what the model is that Netflix is using versus the business model that Spotify is using and how.
Well, I think you have to...
Why has TV got it right?
Well, here's the problem with TV is it's going to, like, splinter and I'm going to have to pirate everything again.
Well, it is already splintered, right? So Netflix is not paying for certain things and Amazon picks it up.
Disney's doing their own channel now.
And then, of course, Amazon may not want to pay for something and then one of the networks will pay for it on the proviso they can get the merchandising. I think everything's splintering already and continuously losing money.
Everyone should just move to banking.
Well, stop being entertaining.
Yeah, change of topic.
Yeah, just don't turn on the fan.
Like, country music is total garbage. Who suggested that?
I think that was Dean's suggestion.
Let's talk about why country music is complete garbage.
Country music is the new rock and roll.
So this is an interesting topic. What films with great soundtracks? Lord of the Rings, fantastic soundtrack. Very different way of thinking about it.
Dum, dum, dum. Da-da-dum, 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 dum-dum. It's got that big trumpet fanfare all the way through, doesn't it?
Isn't there a new movie out at the moment which is a cynical exercise in recording a bunch of Beatles covers?
Yesterday.
Mm. And releasing a soundtrack album, which is just a bunch of Beatles covers make money.
I listened to the soundtrack before I saw the movie and I thought it was
Didn't they do that with Bob Dylan as well?
But I thought the movie was good.
He sings those songs.
Were there explosions in it?
And a real fragility.
Were there explosions in it?
There was no explosions.
Were there car chases?
Were there shockwaves added to the explosions?
There was a car accident.
Forget it. I want explosions.
There was a car accident.
Was there a needlessly tacked on love interest?
Well, yes.
Yes, it was.
I mean, it was, what's his name? The Love Actually writer-director guy, Richard...
Richard Curtis, yes.
Everything he does, there was a romantic subplot in it.
So you're just a guy standing in front of a movie asking it if it's going to be any good.
That's right. Yeah.
So let us...
We've got to close
out with a jam, right? You've got to have a jam.
Oh, like a noodle.
Right, are there.
So what I propose is we randomly pick a genre, randomly pick a tempo.
What do you call this segment?
Well, we're going to fire up the lotto machine and we're going to figure out what
is this
these
like
things
theatre
are.
Sports? You say, do this in the style of that?
I propose
so
we
it's
call
music
it,
sports.
We call it Frankenlotto.
Frankenlotto.
So
it'll never catch on.
I know. So,
what's this thing? Look at all the lights. Just pick one at random.
So here we go. Turning around and the lotto machine is going. And
we're
going
to have an app to do this, I think.
What's the genre, Ken?
Polka.
I think it's reggae.
Reggae 2 on the Moor groove loop, and then we're going to need a tempo.
How are we going to pick that?
Well, as if we can stick to a tempo.
I pick 700.
Have I got a random number generator on here?
Yeah. And turning up, cranking up the Lotto machine, and the answer is...
Okay, it's sunrise tomorrow, 6:17. The humidity is 92%.
92%?
Yeah, we use humidity.
Reggae 2, 92%. And...
how does it sound?
Let's find out.
Where's our... Franken Lotto...